Jake been here again for all these 20 years preaching for us with Brother Patterson. You come and preach what God's laid on your heart tonight. The Lord bless you as you do. So, when Dr. Sis, who's 91, preached down at the summit, I guess it was at Solid Rock church service, he said, preachers come up to him all the time and said, I want to have you in one more time. And finally he said, one more time before what? So, brother, it's good to have you here for one good more
introduction.
Time.
Good introduction. Well, praise the Lord. God's good, amen? It's good to be here tonight again with you. And I tell you, this church has been something special to me for the last 20 years. And I thank God for you, and thank God for knowing you, and for the opportunity to come back and maybe wear you out one more time, amen. And boy, God is so precious, and He ought to be precious in our lives. I get to thinking about that, how good God is, and what He's done in my life, and what He's done in some of your lives as I've watched you over the years, and how He's taken care of you and met your needs and lifts you up, amen. And even when you're down sometimes, you ever been down, amen? You get down sometimes and you just look to the Lord. What's the Lord do? The Lord just sort of puts His hand down here. I like this, and the Lord was like this. He's a lifter up of mine head. Amen. The lifter up of mine head. I get thinking about that when a little kid is being scolded or something, or maybe they get caught doing like this and they don't want to look at you, and you just grab their chin and say, look at me now. Lift up their head. Amen. I think of God like that. He just is a lifter up of mine head. I tell you, there's a message in that, brother. Amen. But you can preach it. I probably won't. But if I do, then I'll come back. And if you preach, it'll be different anyway. Amen. It doesn't matter. John chapter 5 again this evening with me, please. We were in John chapter 3 yesterday morning. We talked about reformation and regeneration. Last night, we were in John chapter 5. We talked about the impotent man. And the title of the message was what? You remember the title of the message last night? It was, I have no man. I have no man. And tonight I'd like to look at you at that God's work never stops. God's work never stops. As we come to the text this evening, I'm just going to get into this tonight. And he says, as we look at this text this evening, beginning in verse 10, after this man was healed, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawfully for thee to carry thy bed. Now watch this for a little bit, because they don't only say that, but they go on. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, did not know. That's what he's saying. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him. We looked at this verse last night for a moment. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, and by again, let me just remind you, it's interesting. He pulled Bethsaida, sick, can't get into the water. Christ heals him. And where's the first place he goes? To the temple. What's he doing? I think he's worshiping God, brother. I think he's thanking God for what has happened in his life. He says, Jesus said to him, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Because you weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. Now they didn't seek to slay the man that was carrying his bed. Amen. By the way, sometimes they don't seek to slay you when you are talk about you when you witness to them. They're against God, period. And that's all there is to it. They're just against God. They don't want to hear what you have to say. But I like what verse 17 says. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. God's work is never done. Amen. His work, He continues to work in the hearts of people. Has God continued since you've been a believer to work in your heart? Amen. If He hasn't, boy, you got something wrong. If God doesn't work in your heart, there's a problem. But God works in our hearts. He works in your heart. He works in my heart. He continues his work in the hearts of his people. He doesn't just stop because he gets saved. I'm glad he didn't stop just because he got saved. But preacher, I mean, if he did, that's good enough because I'm saved. Amen. Yeah. But no, he continues on with the Holy Spirit of God, convicting and working and speaking and helping us to grow in his very grace day by day by day by day. John chapter 6, verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him and who in whom he has sent." He said, that's the work of God. What work? That you would believe on Jesus Christ, him who he has sent, he says. So he expects us and wants us to grow in his grace, grow in his love, walk in his love, and trust him as believers in Jesus Christ. I look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Verse 3 says, or chapter 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, where he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing," what? "That any should perish," but what? "That all should come," what? "Unto repentance." Amen. And we need that today. We need, you heard me talk, was it last night, or I think, I can't remember, one of the two times about repentance, that sometimes we come to the altar, and we get on our knees, and we confess things, and try to go out and do better, but we never really repent. It means turn away from. Don't allow that to influence your life. And if it starts to crop up, and well, I want to tell you, sin will crop up in front of you sometimes. Turn your head, walk away, don't look. Amen? Or shut it off, just do it. Amen? I get in my car all the time, and I have my phone hooked up to my radio in my car. So all I have to do is say, "Siri, answer my phone." If somebody calls, or "Hey, Siri, call Jenny." And then it's always calling somebody that wants to call, amen. But I got it fixed that way. But the problem is, when I get out of the car and I get into the house, I forget to shut the radio off. And I come back into the car I get in the car with my. Sometimes I'm still in the house. Come up to go to the car, and there's a rock and roll station that I try to get off in our area. And I mean, they are going to town, man. And you would hear that clear in my house, you know, because I have it up loud enough so I can hear what it's saying when I'm talking to somebody. And it goes, "Wrong," you know. I want to tell you what, that drives me nuts, amen. But I'm just saying that we need to be obedient to God and the things of God, that we might walk according to the very will of God. You don't have to put up your hand, but you ever walk against the will of God? You knew it was the will of God, and you did not obey what God was telling you to do. Amen. I think we've all done that at one time or another. I hope since you have been saved, I think you've been saved for a while. Because you've been saved for a while, I think those instances come less and less. Amen. Not like they did before. And now you see when they're coming, and you're able to combat that with the very word of God. He continues to work in the hearts of people, but he also continues to work in the hearing of our prayers. He continues to work in the hearing of our prayers. Aren't you glad he listens to your prayer? Aren't you glad you can go to him anytime, any hour, any minute of the day, any second? You can go to him all day long. He never turns a deaf ear. Sometimes if somebody's talking to you, you know, maybe your wife or your husband, and they said, "Did you hear what I said?" My wife said to me one time, she said, "Did you hear what I said?" I said, "Yep, I did." She said, "What did I say?" I was stuck because I did not hear what she said. And then I tried to say it. She said, "That is not what I said." So now I'd like to tell her, "Well, didn't you just say you were going to give me $1,000 to spend on myself?" You know, no, not she ain't going to say that, amen. Hard enough to get $10 out of her. I learned a long time ago. She'll ask me for money. Now, don't try this because your wives are sitting here tonight, amen, or your ladies. But if my wife would ask me for money, she would say, "Do you have a $20 bill?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Really, you don't know?" I didn't, and I didn't. But I had a 50, but I wasn't telling her, amen. One time I had a 100 because she asked for the 50, and I didn't have the 50, but I had a 100. I said, "I don't have 50. I don't have the $50, you know. I didn't. I wasn't lying. I was telling the truth, amen. I just wanted to let them know how much I had. They wanted to know, amen." So, he continues to work in the hearing of our prayers. People might not listen to us, but God always listens to us. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." call upon me, he says. You know, sometimes we think we know everything. He says, I'll show you something that you know not. I'll show you something and teach you something that will help you just by praying to him and seeking his face and calling upon his name, the Bible says. He says, again, call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When's the last time God showed you something great and mighty that you knew not? And I'm wondering how much time we spend in prayer. Amen? It makes me wonder. You know, every great revival in America started with prayer. Every mission agency across this country, Pastor, everyone that was right, amen, and starting, everyone that was true, started with prayer. I know of a couple, one that started in a garage of the house because they were praying what they could do to send some missionaries out, and that was Baptist Missions. Other ones, like Continental Baptist Mission, started as a work of prayer because they wanted to start churches around the United States of America. You got BIMI. You got all these groups. You know, you got Independent Baptist Missions. I mean, all these groups, pastors, started as a result of prayer around somebody. You started one here for Brother Pickett, did you not? Am I right about that? Did he go out from this church? And that's that's a mission board. And I don't think that Brother Pickett just came to you and said, "I want to do this." I think you guys prayed about it, amen, and sought the Lord's face. And that's what we need today. We need to pray. He'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Luke 11:9 says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." When's the last time it's been opened unto you? When's the last time your understanding has been opened unto you when you read the Word of God? When's the last time your life has been opened to you? When's the last time things that you need to do have been opened to you that you might be the witness for Jesus Christ that He wants you to be? When's the last time? When's the last time you had a desire to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time you had a heart to go out and knock a door or help the church? Or when's the last time that you went out and did something like that? You know, it's easy to reach in your pocket and pull out a phone. It's easy to reach in your pocket and pull out a track. Amen? It's easy to pull that track out, and it's easy to hand it to somebody. I like to use church tracks on there, but I give a lot of mine away. In fact, I got a box out at the house right now in my suitcase that's full of old tracks. And so I brought a whole stack of the old ones here because I want to get rid of them and I want to throw them away, amen. Because, man, I hate burning that pretty picture on the front, amen. So, you know. So I'm just simply saying, when's the last time that God used you because of your prayers? He said in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly," amen. Boldly. Boldly. You ever had anybody come before you boldly? Maybe before you're going. Well, what I mean by that is, when I was a teenager, and before that, we used to fight. I mean, if somebody said, "You hit me first," I did. I won't give them a chance to hit me. Amen. Hit me first. Yeah. Okay. That was it, man. I'm not taking no chances. Amen. But I would go to somebody and say, "Get out of my face!" I'd jump right up in their face. "Get out of my face! I'm going to hurt you, man." I'd be bold towards them. Well, he says, that's not how we come to God. We don't come to God in a mean spirit or attitude, but we come boldly, knowing what? Knowing what? Knowing that He will answer our prayers. God's still working, amen. He's still working in the hearts of people. He's still working, hearing our prayers. And He continues to work, or still working, in heaven by preparing a place for you and me. He's still preparing. I don't know about you, but I get to thinking about that. I can't wait to get to glory. I don't want to push it, amen, although I have many times, but I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see what heaven looks like. I can't wait to worship Him. And somebody said, well, if you get to heaven, you come to heaven, and if I'm already there, don't get mad at me if I don't talk to you for 1,000 years. He said, because I'm worshiping my God, amen. I thought, that's pretty good. Don't get mad at each other. If you get to heaven, don't get mad, and don't get mad at your husband because he's not your husband anymore. Don't get mad at your wife. She didn't want to talk to you anyway. So I'm just, or he didn't want to talk to you either. So I'm just saying, don't get mad. Just, man, I can't wait. He's preparing a place for me. John 14, 2 through 3 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if this wasn't true, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I tell you what, man, he's preparing something for you and me that we can never understand down here on this earth. You can't understand. You don't see it. You don't know it. The heaven is going to be such a place for you and I, where Christ is there right now preparing a place for you and me that we might walk with him for all eternity. I don't know about you. Are you excited about that? Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for that to happen. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered, listen, neither have entered to the heart of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I love him. How do you know if you love God? How do you know if you love God? I think if we love God, I think it would show forth out of our life. Amen? I think if we love God, don't take this wrong, don't get mad at me, just hear me. But I think if we love God, when we meet somebody and have the opportunity to witness to them, I think we should and would witness to them. Amen? Do we love God? How many of you would admit you pass by people sometimes without giving them a track or telling them about God? I'll put my hand up, amen. I've been there. And sometimes even yet, I try to make a practice when I go into a grocery store, when I go into a restaurant, when I go anywhere I go, I try to leave a track. Unless like you, Brother Dave, you left one when we were there, so I didn't have to leave one, amen. Try to leave a track, and if it's a waitress, I try to leave a track with a nice tip in it, because I want her to read it. I don't want to walk away with a stinking cheapskate, amen. He didn't give me anything. I'm not going to read what he has to say, amen. So I always leave a nice tip in there, you know. Sometimes my tip is almost what I paid for my meal, you know, if I'm by myself. And so I just, God just says, do it. I was at Wendy's drive-thru in Adrian, Michigan a couple years ago. Might have been a year ago. I can't remember if it was this last year or the year before. And as I'm pulling up to the drive-thru, the Lord says, give her what's in your pocket. So I ordered and gave her my card and took a $20 bill and stuck it in the track and handed it to her. I got my food and I went around Wendy's and come up the other side, and I was going to, before I even got around the corner, the Lord says, what did I say? I told you to give her everything in your pocket. Now, I'm glad you didn't say wallet, because she would have gotten, and I didn't have anything in my wallet, but she got all my credit cards probably. So I reached in my pocket. Now, I'd already given her $20. I reached in my pocket and handed her a lot of money. It was $54. I gave her a $74 tip that day. You know what happened? She started crying at that window. She said this, you have no idea what you just did for me. She said, my husband just walked out, and I have nothing for my children for Christmas. Amen. That's God. It sure wasn't me, but I'm a tightwad. You know, I don't want to give my money away, man. No, you ain't getting that. The Lord has a hard enough time getting it out of my hand, let alone somebody else, amen? I'm just simply saying. And about 3 or 4 days after Christmas, I got a card in the mail. It was a lady. And she said, I want to thank you so much for your kindness. And I hope she read the tract, amen. I really do. I don't know. I asked her, so please read this. I'll do that, she said. So I'm just simply believing that she did it, amen. But then to get a thank you like that, and to see what God does. Well, don't we just need to listen to what God says to the children of God? And God says, go and tell them, go and do it, and pray and seek my face, seek their face, seek what you would have them to do to honor and glorify God. And then he continues to work, not just there, but he continues to work in the harvest. In the harvest. You know, I like your mission board. And those are harvesters. Amen? Those are harvesters. They're out, you cultivate, they cultivate, then they harvest. You help them by you help them by planting, by sending money to them. and then they water, and what? God giveth the what? The increase. And so we need, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be involved in missions. You ought to be involved in missions in your home church. I'll never forget the first time, Pastor, I was introduced to Faith Promise Missions down in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And I wasn't making much money. But as soon as they had that missions conference, God spoke to me to start putting stuff in missions every week. And I did, amen. I just started giving. And then pretty soon I was giving double. Pretty soon I was giving four times that. You say, well, how much is that? Not a lot, but I was giving, back then, $4 an hour. I was giving a little bit of money, you know, and giving my tithe on top of that. And then when I came back to Michigan to work at the children's home the second time, we were going to a church, and they didn't believe in Faith Promise. What they did was they just took the money from the church, and they took 10 or 15%, and then that's what they paid missions. And I thought, well, how are you going to really grow? Go ahead and do that, but do Faith Promise too, amen. Don't just stop right there. And so the pastor said, Mike, he said, you're putting so much in the church, because we got paid every 2 weeks there. He said, you know, every week. He said, you're putting so much in the church every month for, you said, missions, Faith Promise missions. I said, yeah. He said, why don't you, and I was paying my children's school bill, Christian school bill, on top of that. And our food was supplied to the children's home. Praise the Lord for that, amen. But I had a van payment, and I had, you know, insurance payments, and I had, you know, just one thing after the other. And I was hardly making ends meet. He said, Mike, he said, why don't you just hang on to that money and use it rather than put it in missions? Why don't you just keep your Christian school money and keep it and use it for the Lord? Or withhold your tithe. I can't believe a pastor would tell me that. And I said, brother, that's not right. That's not right. So I continued to support missions after I came back to Michigan, and they didn't even have a Faith Promise Missions program. I just felt it was the right thing to do and been involved in it ever since. Amen. That goes back to 1981. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, Lord, of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Acts 16:9 says this, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. Amen. A vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, I don't know about you, but if I wait, a vision means, I don't think it was a dream, amen. He was awake, I believe, because it says a vision. He saw something. And I don't think it was a dream. He had this vision. I don't know about you, but if I got my eyes open, all of a sudden somebody appears in front of me, I'm going to run like a sissy. Amen. Or pull out a gun to shoot him, you know, or throw a rock or something. I'm going to scream, you know. I'll scream like a little girl. Ah! Amen. And so I'm just simply saying it would have run me off. But Paul sees this vision of Macedonia. Come over. What do they say? Come over, therefore, he said, come over and into Macedonia and help us. Now, what's that idea of help us there mean? I don't think it was come over and help us sew tents, help us learn to fish. It wasn't come over and help us do a job or help us build an adobe hut. It wasn't come over and, hey, and take care of my camels for me. It wasn't come over and, listen, I'm going through some difficult and hard things, and I need your help here to help me get my mind straight to work on these things. No, it was come over and help us. The vision was this: come, teach us, show us about God. Show us what God wants us to learn. Show us what Jesus wants us to have, that he would be honored and glorified. I think sometimes he continues in the harvest, and I think that we think that we don't have to do anything. Amen. Because God, who does all the work? God. And that's what we think. That's what we say. But he has a job for you and me. He has something we're supposed to do in supporting missions, something we're supposed to do in sending missionaries, something we're supposed to do in telling others, something we're supposed to do about handing out tracts, something we're supposed to do about talking to our neighbors, something we're supposed to do about talking to other people at work. Something we're supposed to do as the children of God, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be witnesses for him. So, in a vision appeared to Paul in the night, there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And then he continues to work in his house. Aren't you glad he continues working in the church? You're not stopped, amen. You might say this, you might say, well, Brother Mike, you know, look how small we are. God still works in the church where two or three are gathered in his name. He's in the midst, amen. He is with them as children, the children of God. The church is mentioned 79 times in the New Testament. Just the word church. Churches are in the plural form. Shows up 36 times in the plural form. So you take 36 and 79, and what's that? 126. Who? What? One. Yeah, go ahead. You solve it. 79 and 36. Quick. Amen. 115 times. That's a. To me, that's a pretty amazing, amen, just in the New Testament. He does mention the word church in the Old Testament, amen. Different thought, but here he's talking about a New Testament local church of born-again believers, and he has not stopped his work in his house. Aren't you glad for that? When you hear the preaching, he still speaks to hearts. When you hear the preaching, he still moves. When you hear the preaching, people listen. People still get saved. People still get saved. And we need people to see Jesus Christ. You know, somebody might come to a church and they might hear a message in a church 40 or 50 or 60 times or more and never get saved. And all of a sudden they come to church one day and a string pulls and the light goes on. Amen? And then they say, that's exactly what I need. And they walk the aisle and get saved. Sometimes I've seen where we've knocked on the same door 20 or 30 or 40 times, Pastor. And all of a sudden one day, someone will respond and get saved by the grace of God. Never give up on people. Don't stop, amen. Let me ask you a question. How important is church to you? Amen. How important is church to you? What's it mean in your life as a believer in Christ? A couple years ago down in Florida, I had pneumonia and heart failure at the same time. We thought I was done, Pastor. My wife thought I was done. I thought I was done. And I laid in the hospital, been about 8 days before I started to get better and couldn't stay awake, continually seeking, you know, and continually couldn't breathe and hacking like crazy. They tested me for COVID 4 times. I didn't have COVID. I had heart failure. And I know what happens when I have heart failure. I know how the water gets in me and it swells up and I can't do anything. Then I had double pneumonia and it was starting down in the bottom of my lungs also at the same time. I was a mess, you know. And so I got to laying in the hospital bed. And when I come out of the hospital, I could not go to church for about 3 weeks. So I watched Dr. Steve Wehr online, turn on the YouTube on Sunday morning or Facebook, and I'd watch them on TV on Sunday morning, Sunday night. And when it finally came, when I could go back to church, I went into church and I sat there. I can't remember what song they played, but the very first song they played, because I couldn't wait to get back to church, I just stood there. I couldn't sing. I just started weeping like a baby because I was in church. That's how much I miss church. Do you miss church when you can't be there? Amen. We had to do everything in our power to be in the house of God when those doors are open. I don't know about you, but if I don't go, I miss it. If I miss a Wednesday night traveling, I've only missed a few over the years, I miss it. Amen. I don't like missing Wednesday nights. I don't like missing Sunday mornings. I walked into one church on a Sunday morning, and we sat down, and they began this Sunday school. Sunday school was terrible. The guy did not know anything that he was talking about. I have no idea where he got his lesson. He sure didn't read the Word of God, amen. And it was one of the worst things, a layman from the church, one of the worst things I ever heard in my life. Did not understand anything he was saying. And then they got it into the morning service, and they start playing a little bit of, the first song was real good. The second song was a little beating, and the people are starting this. Now, can I tell you something? That happened, and I looked at my wife and my son. I said, and we got and left. miss church that Sunday morning. Why? Because I'm not going to subject myself to something I do not agree with. Can't do it. Amen. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be part of that. Why? Because God continues to work in this house. And I want to tell you something. That type of attitude in a church is not the work of God. That is the work of man appealing to the flesh. Well, I tell you what, my friend. Do you love the house of God? I like what Matthew 16:18. You know the verse. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He still works in this house. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means the church, it's not, the devil's not on the, we're supposed to be on the attack. The gates of hell can't prevail against, they can't stop us from doing what's right. They can't stop us from preaching. They can't stop us from shouting. They can't stop us from praising God. They can't stop, it can't stop you from singing. The gates of hell, he said, the church shall prevail against what? The gates of hell. That means we are going forward, and the gates of hell cannot stop us from going forward. The devil can't hinder you from, he'll try to hinder, but he can't stop you from doing right. You have to choose to do right as a believer in Jesus Christ. He continues the work in this house because he continues the work in his heart. Listen to this. He continues his work in you. Continues it in you. Well, what happens, Brother Mike, if I go to the hospital, I'm in there for a year, a nursing home? He continues his work in you. He knows your heart. Amen. He knows your mind. So he knows what you need. He knows what you want. We just need to trust him. Amen. Because why? Because God's work is never done. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed for a moment, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't know, as a believer in Christ, I don't know exactly where you're at tonight. And sometimes when I'm preaching, I don't want anybody to think that I'm pointing at you. I'm pointing to all of us, and four more fingers are pointing back at me. Amen. But I just like to ask this question tonight. Number one, you say, brother, you ask this every time you preach. I know it. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you die that your sins have been forgiven and you have eternal life? Can you slip up your hand if you're saved? You say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Throw up your hand in the air. Don't be afraid. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Second question is this, Brother Mike. Something in that message. It might not be the whole message. It might be just one point. It might just be one sentence. It might just be one thought. But it spoke to my heart. And I want to know if you'd please pray for me tonight. How about it right now? Just slip up your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Come on, let's be honest. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's talk to him tonight. Let's stand there with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to pray for you. When I'm done praying, remain standing with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, I thank you for your long suffering. I thank you, Father, for our salvation, Lord. I thank you, Father, for what you've done in my life and the lives of the people in this church, Father. How you've given salvation to those who have called upon the name of the Lord. God, you're so good, so gracious, so full of love for us, Father. Oh God, I wish we could live the way we ought to live to show our love for you continually the way you show it to us, Father. Help us to get a glimpse of glory. Help us to get a glimpse of what you're doing. Help us, Father, to see what you have for each one of us, that you'd be honored and glorified. Thank you for saving our souls, Lord. Thank you for these who raised their hand tonight. We give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed yet. Lord, speak to your heart. I want you to slip out and come to the altar right now. God bless you. God bless you. You just slip out and come. Lord, spoke to your heart. You just slip out and come right now.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate God working in our lives. Let's open our songbook to 816. See, just the first and last verse of that. Have thine own way, Lord. Watch the words make this a prayer. As we look again, that God would have His way in our lives. 816 says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Last verse. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again your coming out. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time. Keep our meetings in prayer and keep revival in prayer that we could again see a heartfelt change. We've been challenged to praise the Lord. And we need not just challenge, we need change. And so appreciate you coming out tonight. Father, praise you. Thank you again for your blessings. Thank you we can meet with other believers tonight and hear from you. Pray again that you touch and bless in a special way. Give us your care, watch care as we leave. In the name of Christ, amen.